You can meet and hear Bill Barr, Albert Mohler, Pavi Rossinen, Chris Roseborough, Brian Wolfmiller, Joel Bierman, and Will Wheaton at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 24th and Saturday, June 25th in Chicago. For more information, visit IssuesETC.org or call 618-223-8385. The 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 24th and 25th at Concordia University, Chicago. For several years now, we have been talking about woke ideology in our culture, especially in our educational system here in the United States, public schools and our colleges and universities. Can and has this woke ideology found its way into Christian education? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. For the remainder of today's program, we're going to discuss allegations of woke ideology at a Lutheran university with Dr. Gregory Schultz, a suspended faculty member at Concordia University, Wisconsin. Now, we did attempt to schedule an interview with Dr. William Cario, interim president of Concordia University, Wisconsin. CUW declined our interview request. Dr. Gregory Schultz was suspended on February 19th as a professor of philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin. Dr. Schultz, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Well, hi, Todd. Always an honor to be with you on Issues Etc.
We're going to be talking a lot about woke ideology. So with less than a minute, why is woke ideology antithetical to biblical theology?
In less than a minute, it's a little tough, but I think we can do it. So let's say that woke or wokeism is pretty much a synonym for social justice and for cultural Marxism. So that may help some people zero in on it. The major point that I'd like to point out, Todd, is that wokeism is essentially an anti-text, anti-Christ politics, or you could call it a religion, I think. So in wokeism, the fundamental motivation is to eliminate the authority of Christ and his holy scriptures, for instance, and to replace that with notions that are very, I'm going to say, suspect on intellectual grounds, but notions such as the need for reparations, making up for past injustices by creating new injustices today, and that sort of thing.
So give us the details of your recent suspension.
Sure. Well, I'm glad to do that. Along the way, Todd, I'd like to suggest that as I realize that my suspension is going to have consequences for academic freedom more generally, and to go by this unprecedented way of treating a professor by Concordia University, Wisconsin administration, I imagine it's got implications for professors not only at my university, but at all our Concordias. I'm going to say, though, before I give you that briefing, that I would like everybody to understand that the main issue here, as important as this may be, is not my suspension, but is the alert that I raised about wokeism at my Concordia University. In other words, the main issue is a theological issue dealing with this anti-text, anti-Christ, anti-Western culture, actually, notion of wokeism or social justice. So in very brief terms, and then feel free to ask more if you need to, in very brief terms, after publishing an essay entitled Woke Dysphoria at Concordia in Christian News, the issue was the Valentine's Day or the February 14 Christian News. Within a few days after that, there was kind of a scattering of hurried emails from the administration. These emails I have copies of, and so do my department chair and so forth, telling me that I had to come to a meeting. The sad fact is that those emails came during my class time. So I teach, like most of our folks in philosophy and theology, teach a pretty heavy overload. So I've got Friday afternoon classes, three of them. Then I've got student advising time, sometimes pastoral care time for 1 hour. And as things worked out, I caught one of these emails, emailed back to the interim president that I could sense something serious was going on and being told to attend a meeting, but that I was teaching, couldn't make it. but I recommended that I could clear out my schedule for the following Monday, the next business day, really. But however, that I would respectfully ask and also require that my department chair and also our faculty chair would attend that meeting, since it sounded like some administrators and possibly board people were being piled up on the other side. The next thing that I knew was Saturday morning, I was basically cut out of all of the university systems. I was trying to look after a few student needs and just couldn't get into it. During the day, I managed to get in touch with my department chair, Angus Manoush, who is, I think, well-known in our circles, an absolutely solid Lutheran thinker, and a great department chair, by the way. Angus told me that all he knew was that he had been told at a very late hour in the hallway on Friday that I had been suspended and he was going to have to cover all my classes. Ultimately, then, over the weekend, I applied to the site for an organization we have in Wisconsin called the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. Among other things, and you know, you and I and most of our listeners are going to think about the church side of this, but there's also what you could call the civic side, this unprecedented infringement of academic freedom. Professors should not be tossed out by administrations simply for expressing their best thinking, and in my case, my best pastoral thinking to boot. So I was blessed by having Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty take me on pro bono because of that academic freedom issue especially. And it took my lawyer to get a memorandum detailing the legion of reasons that the administration had decided to suspend me. And then, by the way, they also indicated that I could expect further discipline and termination if I didn't agree with their expectation, among other things, that I would recant that article immediately and to their satisfaction.
Did CUW, Concordia University of Wisconsin, did they follow your suspension according to their own employee handbook? Did they follow their own rules? Because it sounds like it was rather hasty and you didn't even know about it.
Yeah, that's right. So despite comments that have been made, please remember, on the one hand, I just wasn't willing to cancel classes in the afternoon for any reason. I didn't think it was necessary. And you remember that I mentioned I offered to meet. But what happened, I've used the term unprecedented already in talking about it, was the administration unilaterally suspended me without any process whatsoever. So there's no due process. There was no following even of regulations such as they were. And for our very thoughtful issues, et cetera, listeners, I think I could just refer you to the article on The Federalist that was posted last Monday, about a week ago, by Joy Pullman, an extremely helpful article by one of our LCMS members who's a senior folk person for The Federalist, where she details all this. There's a question about whether there were any procedures there to be followed, but certainly nothing was done except that I was summarily, without any process or even any conversation, you'll notice, I was just suspended and barred from campus and cut out of any contact with my students through the campus systems.
CUW's interim president, William Cario, sent you a communication, among other things, accusing you of, and I quote, insubordination, lying to administration about actions taken, conduct unbecoming a Christian, not following faculty grievance or dispute process. How do you respond to those?
Well, I just noticed for accuracy, he didn't exactly send that to me. It took my lawyer requiring it from the university administration for me even to see that. Remember, I've been cut out of the university system. So I don't think it's at all the case that the administration communicated with me. That's a big part of the problem here. I also, of course, you know, in another venue, would be happy to go point for point on some pretty cobbled together charges in there. But the one point that a person would probably want to note above others is that the administration was insisting, this is their vocabulary, that I recant that article raising the alarm about woke incursions, this anti-Christ, anti-scriptural politics of religion into Concordia. I was told by them to recant or expect to be disciplined and terminated. I know this isn't exactly a humorous matter, but you know, if you want to do something to set off confessional Lutherans, and if you want to do something to get Lutheran parish pastors and professor pastors to react, by all means, tell them after they've done their level best to present scripture on an issue threatening the consciences and freedom of our children and other people, by all means, just tell them to recant and see what that does. That's just quite extraordinary. And it's for people like you and me and all of us who are concerned about the integrity of scripture and the confessions. That's like red meat, isn't it? So I recognize a here I stand moment when I see it. And I'm trained for this, so there will be no recant coming. I've been very open in saying, you know, if brothers in the ministry can point out that I've made any errors scripturally on this, you know, let me know. But I don't think that's going to be forthcoming. Quite the contrary. Professors, lay people, alumni, parish pastors and folks, they are all pointing out that this is just so contrary to everything that we learn from grade school and Lutheran confirmation class on, that this is quite egregious. I agree.
We're discussing allegations of woke ideology at a Lutheran university with Dr. Gregory Scholz. This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Ad Crucem has produced a new item, a personalized baptism banner for a child's bedroom. These banners are 16 by 23 inches and reference Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. Check them out at adcrucem.com. adcrucem.com. When we return, when did Dr. Scholz first notice woke ideology at Concordia University, Wisconsin?
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
God promises to provide for us, as he does in the first article of the Creed, and as we confess that he has created me and takes care of every aspect of my life. Why then do we work? If you've ever asked this question or struggled with the sin of sloth, that is not simply laziness, but a spiritual sloth, you need to pick up your copy of the March issue of the Lutheran Witness. You can subscribe at cph.org/witness or visit our website, witness.lcms.org, to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Scripture tells us to not neglect the gathering of the saints. For too long, many of our churches have been shuttered and our gatherings curtailed. During this Lenten season, it is time to beautify our sacred spaces and return to our traditions. Ad Crucem is having a sale on our church banners. For the month of March, our banner prices will be reduced by up to 30%. Visit adcrucem.com to take advantage of this incredible pricing. That's adcrucem.com.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Does God really exist?
Aren't all religions the same anyway?
Who is Jesus?
These are just some of the questions people ask. Apologetics Today one-day seminars with Dr. Nancy Almodovar and other pastors from local Lutheran churches will teach you how to give a reason for your faith. Come join us on Saturday, May 14th at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Boise, Idaho. For more information or to register, please visit LutheranGirl.org.
Confessional Lutherans are invited to rent a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom, Table Rock lakefront home in the Ozarks. Table Rock Lake is a premier lake in the heart of the Ozarks for boating, water sports, and fishing. This log cabin-style rental sleeps 12 and is 30 minutes from Branson and 20 minutes from Silver Dollar City. Learn more by calling Swanson Estates, 713-855-2681. Be sure to mention Issues Etc., 713-855-2681.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about allegations of woke ideology at a Lutheran university with Dr. Gregory Schultz. He was suspended on February 19th as a professor of philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin. Dr. Schultz, when did you first start noticing woke ideology at CUW?
Yeah, that's a good question. Do you know, I don't know that I can say that there were any particular instances that made me think in terms of this being widespread. You know, you hear little things where I suppose it can happen in the thick of all the political and cultural stresses we're facing right now, you know, that somebody may have said something ill-advised to a class or whatever. But what really brought this to my attention was the presidential search process by Concordia University. So, you know, I'm a philosopher and a theology guy and a pastor. I'm not a psychologist, don't pretend to be. So I've got nothing to offer in psychoanalyzing people's motivations or anything, but I do know a thing or two about keeping an eye on texts. So the texts that had been coming out of the search committee and apparently out of the executive committee from Concordia University, Wisconsin's Board of Regents were obviously talking woke mantras. So this notion of, they actually said this, I imagine it's been taken down by now, which doesn't change anything except their kind of blatant publicity about their desires. But the terminology was that they were looking for a president who believed in and was committed to. And then come the woke terms of inclusion and equity, which terms don't mean, you know, what you would think they mean from years past or educations we've had. These are about that notion of overthrowing the authority of Christ and not paying attention to scripture and doing things politically. So this is there, or was there, in the postings for the last calendar year. They were there again the opening months of this year, and that's what really set me off. So as it would, I think, any Lutheran pastor who's really looking at this. So the published, very public statements of the Board of Regents leadership, their executive committee, as best I can figure out, and certainly their search committee, they announced that this is what they were looking for. Very gradually, I think, there were additions of other quotes from our Missouri Synod expectations for, you know, doctrinal fidelity and so forth in the president. But I would notice that anybody looking at that would realize that that's really boilerplating, something kind of expected, tacked on. The real meat of the matter is when they explain what they're looking for in the president. And now I think we can all realize that actually I'm being dealt with by our administration in as woke a manner as possible. They would not accept my opportunities to talk or to debate either the administration or especially the Board of Regents. And all they can think to do is to pull a move like demanding recanting without any biblical reason, without any response to this. It's a cancellation with a capital C, isn't it? It's not the way we should do things at a university or in real life. And so it's become more and more apparent. Finally, there is an example. If any of this is sounding, you know, a little bit unbelievable to your listeners, I certainly understand that. It hit me like a ton of bricks as this was coming home, the more I thought and prayed about it. If you have any doubt, you might consider looking at Joy Pullman's article again in The Federalist and notice among the other things that she mentions how the official campus group of our Black Student Union at Concordia has been following and recommending and teaching the writings, for instance, of a man by the name of Ibrahim Kendzi. Folks can look him up online. Kendzi is somebody who teaches flat out that this notion of what he calls savior theology, seeking to reach sinners with the gospel, to win them over to Christ and to live and die and be in heaven with him, he says that's not the way to do church. This is not what we want. And he comes right out and says, we are teaching liberation theology, a black liberation theology that is going to use the power of this world rather than the gospel of Christ to do what needs to be done. It's quite remarkable. With a little searching online, I think folks hearing our interview right now could take a look at that. And if you see the video, you'll actually see that when Kendi is making these egregious anti-biblical, anti-gospel claims, he's actually sitting at the front of a church. I guess it's probably a Methodist church. There's no table or altar there I could see. But it has in huge letters engraven into the wall the words of Jesus in Matthew 18. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And all the while, Kendi, a black liberation theology advocate who is being advertised and talked to, apparently, our students through the Black Student Union, he is saying, no, the authority doesn't belong to Christ. It's ours. And it's not a matter of Christ's kingdom. It's a matter of this worldly power. That's what's at stake here.
So I have two questions with respect to those you called the mantras. I think they are, I agree with you that they are code intended to sell woke ideology to the unwitting. But can those terms like diversity, inclusion, and equity, can they, and even social justice, can they have a proper Christian definition?
Absolutely not. So the thing of it is, you could use the word equity in conversation, and if you were talking about property values, let's just say that that's perfectly clear. We are well-schooled, you know, we Lutherans, in knowing that when you look at the sacred biblical text, for instance, it does its own interpreting. And you do this by reading the complete book of the Bible where that a given passage is. You double-check the near and far context. And we understand this textual business. It is totally disingenuous, however, for anybody to claim that notions of diversity, inclusion, and equity in this woke conversation, that they mean anything indistinct. I would recommend that people who really want to do some more studying on their own, that another person that you could look up online would be Vaudi Bausham. You'd probably be able to find him just with his first distinctive first name, V-O-D-D-I-E. I also happen to have quoted him in an essay that's being released from our Lutheran Classical College project out in Casper, Wyoming. So this is online. You could find his exact name and reference to one of his books there. So you just want to look up Vaudi Bausham and look for his Clear as a Bell lectures on the meaning of social justice and the meaning of diversity, inclusion, and equity. He offers just a very clear class on that. I would also notice that in the process of doing this, I think there are a lot of disingenuous comments being made on the part of the administration at Concordia. The real question is what's going on? And I hope this doesn't sound rude, though I guess I don't mind if it does. There's a certain expectation of education and intellectual capacity that we should expect, not just from our professors, though certainly from us professors, but also for people who are put in positions of administrative leadership at our universities. And it does not speak well at all of somebody who is in charge and says, I don't think those terms mean anything. I think all terms are in flux. I think we get to make these mean whatever we want to. They're harmless and so forth. That is just the sort of thing that our Concordias were founded to combat. That's exactly why when any open-minded person takes a look at our Concordia University system, bylaws and things that are supposed to be written into all of our Concordia universities, you'll see that the need is clear as a bell that they want to have exceptionally qualified pastors, ordained pastors, to serve as our university presidents. We deserve better than to have people who just don't really know or don't want to say what they should know.
Dr. Gregory Scholz is our guest. We're talking about allegations of woke ideology at a Lutheran university. Dr. Scholz was suspended on February 19th as a professor of philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin. Well, given the woke code developed by the executive committee and the search committee for a new president there at Concordia University, Wisconsin, and given the manner in which he has been, in his own terms, there, canceled, has woke ideology found its way into the administration of Concordia University, Wisconsin?
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Unshaken from Psalm 16:8 is the theme for the 44th academic year at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and encouraging spiritual growth. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the support page. Or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-656. 0043.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Continuing education for the Confessional Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Lutheran Talk.
We have an ecumenical responsibility to hold forth the scriptures and to bear witness to grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone.
Lutheran Music.
Listen anytime, anywhere in 2020 with the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. Download for iPhone, Android, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about allegations of woke ideology at a Lutheran university with Dr. Gregory Scholz. He was suspended on February 19th as a professor of philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin. Dr. Scholz, I really must ask, given the woke code words that were inserted into the presidential search materials by at least the search committee, if not the executive committee of the regents there at Concordia University, Wisconsin, and given the manner in which you have been treated, your word is canceled. Do you believe that the administration, the regents, or perhaps even interim president William Cario are on board with woke ideology?
I think it's up to you and to your listeners to make the judgment for themselves, Todd. So what I would say, if I may, is I think that everyone who's concerned about this, and to all of our brothers and sisters in the faith out there, I think that is at least all of us confessional Lutherans, and it's more. But everyone who is generally concerned about this sort of thing, please take a look at my essay, Woke Dysphoria at Concordia. Keep your Bible, and your Lutheran confessions handy for the references that I make in there. And then take a look at the things that have been posted even now in response to, quote, my case, end quote, at Concordia, and you see what you think. Take a look at the town hall interviews. Ask the alumni that you may know, many cases your own sons and daughters. Ask the kids in your congregation who are currently going to Concordia and talk with them and see. So I think the mere fact that the Concordia University Board of Regents leadership refused even to acknowledge my offer to come and talk with them about these issues back in September, October of the previous year. And I think that the fact that the interim president of Concordia University, Wisconsin, in Ann Arbor, will not even talk with anybody about my essay, I think that tells everybody what they need to know. If you follow up also with the fine work that's being done by Joy Pullman at the Federalist, by many of our confessional pastors on sites such as Gottesdienst, the blog interviews that are coming out, and again, you know, with thanks to you guys for being so helpful on the confessional side of all these issues. I don't just mean mine, but just the stuff you guys do day in and day out at issues, etc. They can make up their own minds. I am not interested in judging anybody's heart. Seems to me we've got a passage where we're reminded that the Lord does that. But we do look at the outward appearances. And the outward appearances are these, in text, in what they have said, and what they will not talk about. It looks plain as day that our university leadership, the administration, and the leadership of the Board of Regents has bought into the woke agenda, to the great harm of consciences everywhere, and I think contrary to the clear texts and power and winsome character of our Lutheran doctrine, not to mention the authority of Christ himself.
I agree with you, Dr. Schultz, that your suspension is really a secondary issue, just perhaps a signal. My main concern are the vulnerable young people who sit in the classrooms. So can you give us some examples of woke ideology in the classrooms of Concordia University, Wisconsin?
Yeah, so I'm going to mention the Black Student Union again. I really want to make it clear, though, you know, I understand, and I bear none of these folks really owe Will for this. Apparently, some of the members of our Black Student Union have gone on camera for one of the local TV stations in Milwaukee and referred to me as being a racist or whatever. I bear no ill will whatsoever for that. However, please notice that that's the fruit of the teaching that they have been receiving. So I will not for a second talk down to any of my undergraduates. These are young adults. They are responsible for what they say and do. But at the same time, they have come to Concordia or at great cost and expense to their families, maybe for generations, right, to produce this university for them. What they have been dropped into the middle of is at least some professors and some leaders of organizations who are teaching this Kendi stuff and other related woke issues to these immortal young souls. And this is unconscionable. This is a big part of my point. What you could do, though, I would not suggest that they be put out there right now. They can speak for themselves if and when they want to. You can ask our pre-SEM students at Concordia, what have they been running into in other classes? I know that our theology classes are as powerful and orthodox as all get out, because I work and talk with the guys in theology all the time. I know that in our philosophy department, to a man, we are utterly committed to confessional stuff. We are making big inroads to teach bioethics and to teach ethics and to teach our core course on Christian worldview having to do with Western thought. Right, to teach this with our Bibles open and our confessions to explain to people what a prize we have here. But there are other areas apparently where, and you know, I'm not an investigator. I'm not the person, the president is actually. I'm not the person who's responsible for supervising other faculty members. But it does seem that even though I've got many colleagues in other departments who are absolutely furious with this woke business, there are notwithstanding some professors who are apparently teaching that it's not a good idea to pray the Lord's Prayer because, after all, it's patriarchal. That the group, not the slogan, this is very important, but that group, Black Lives Matter, is being promoted here and there in classes and elsewhere. That issues of transgenderism and related stuff, which also is a come along on this train of wokeism and cultural Marxism, this stuff is not being denounced. It's not being corrected in classes. So we have a very serious problem going here. The only answer for this is God's word rightly administered. And that's why my big concern, I suppose you could put it down to one sentence, is this: look at the ways and means. Look at the means by which we are teaching students at Concordia University, Wisconsin. Is it by the means of grace? Is it by teaching that is deeply informed by Christ and his authoritative word? Or is it different means? Is it alien means? Is it woke and cultural Marxist, you know, means by which this stuff is being done? And there's the worry. It's the means of grace, or we've got trouble. And I think we've got trouble because the means of grace are being short shrifted, to put it modestly.
Are the faithful Lutheran remnant at Concordia University, Wisconsin, on the faculty, coming to the defense of these vulnerable young men and women who are being taught these things in other classrooms and departments?
Oh, I think that they are. And I, you know, it's not only our theology guys. We've got very faithful people. And can I just combine this? People who are capable of and do read the times, you know, like Paul says, and are capable of bringing this in. There are lots of people who are doing that. So that's going on, but, you know, I think only some kind of an extremely thorough investigation, and to my mind, just as importantly, an attention to how we should have been educating our faculty, right? Of all the other things that we come up with for so-called faculty development and stuff, do you know we've actually had diversity training sessions where staff members have been able to call older professors racists as part of the schooling. We've had that stuff going on, but I don't believe we have had anything approaching what I'm going to say I think our faculty deserves, and that is a constant professional conversation, a sharing of papers, and appreciating one another's writings, of being a university instead of a diversity of different schools and projects. We haven't given our colleagues on faculty a chance for that kind of development in the winsome, substantial Lutheran doctrine that we have. So I'd like to think, who knows what the percentages are, but I'd like to think that when we talk about a remnant, I'd like to think that the number of faculty who really would want to help bring rest that comes only from Christ, bring that to their students inside and out of classes, I would like to think there are a lot more who would be willing to do that. And the only missing thing is a good professional, brotherly, sisterly, ongoing conversation, a professional ethos, if you will, right? An environment in which our Lutheran doctrine, which is just all biblical doctrine, put in terms that is so winning and so effective, of course, because it's God's word, that if that were the main thing. But at the moment, I'm afraid that is not the main thing.
Dr. Gregory Schultz is our guest. We're talking about allegations of woke ideology at a Lutheran university. When we return, what percentage of the CUW faculty is supportive of woke ideology?
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we cruise further along in 2 Corinthians with the love of Christ, ministry of reconciliation, the acceptable time, contradictions, and be separate. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for the Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Sloth. Have you heard of sloth? Maybe you've heard it called one of the seven deadly sins. As Lutherans, we know that all sins are equally deadly, but what is this sloth? Well, there's more to it than just being lazy and not getting up out of bed in the morning. There's also a spiritual sloth, a spiritual deadness. If you want to know more about this and how to overcome the sin of sloth, pick up your copy of the March issue of the Lutheran Witness, where you'll learn all about sloth and zeal. To learn more about the Lutheran Witness, visit lcms.org/witness, helping you look at the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Solid. Serious. Substantive. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Athanasius, Bishop of Alexandria in the 4th century, was known for boldly confessing Jesus Christ as both true God and true man. This is what we do at St. Athanasius Lutheran Church in Vienna, Virginia, just outside Washington, D.C., continuing this historic confession of our Savior, who died for us and now comes to us in word and sacrament. If you live in the D.C. area or just visiting, come join us. For more information, find us on the web, St. Athanasius Lutheran Church.
Memoria Press exists to promote and impart the classical heritage of the Christian West through an emphasis on the liberal arts and the great works of the Western tradition. The Memoria Press curriculum encourages the development of wisdom and virtue through the pursuit of truth, goodness, and beauty. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR22. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time. MemoriaPress.com.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about allegations of woke ideology at a Lutheran university with Dr. Gregory Scholz. He was suspended on February 19th as a professor of philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin. You won't find woke ideology at Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas. Faith Lutheran School is built upon the foundation of God's Word and the Lutheran Confessions. Faith Lutheran provides a classical Lutheran education for preschool through 12th grade. They offer live online high school classes for students worldwide. Learn more at flsplano.org. Faith Lutheran School, Plano, Texas, flsplano.org. So speaking of percentages, Dr. Scholz, what percentage of the CUW faculty do you believe is supportive of woke ideology?
I don't know. I just don't know. You know, I suggested, Todd, it's a very fair question, by the way, of course. A very fair question also because a lot of the folks, maybe almost all the folks who are listening to us, listening to your interview, these folks are the stakeholders in Concordia University. It's, after all, not the property of anybody other than, as President Harrison said, you know, of the congregations of our church body. So I would like people to be informed. I'm not bashful about trying to help God's people be as informed as possible about Scripture and then the failings of people following Scripture in our university. But I just don't know on the percentages. I've heard colleagues express their own thoughts about that, but I don't think you can tell. And I would say especially in kind of a real-time thing, you can't tell because, as I said, that effort has not been made, at least in the 10 years or so I've been around, the effort has not been made to form the faculty or give the faculty members the opportunity to form their thinking and teaching according to those winsome and substantial articles of Lutheran thought, right? So I just don't know.
But you have stated elsewhere that if someone does, if a faculty member does buy into this woke ideology and refuses to stop teaching it, they do not belong at Concordia University, Wisconsin.
Absolutely right. So what we're talking about right now is, it's, can we say, the space between that refusal to teach and the space where there is still room for repentance. I don't think that that should be a very wide space, and I don't think it should last very long because of the reason you mentioned, you know, in a real pastorly form a few minutes ago. The issue here is the consciences, the intellect, the persons, right, the whole being of the students at Concordia. So Concordia does not exist, our Concordia does not exist for the purpose of somebody trying out their latest fad in educational philosophy or social engineering. So efforts to do that sort of thing need to be stopped, and they need to be stopped yesterday. But at the same time, you know, like you, I've got tremendous confidence in these means of grace, and I say I don't think that the means of the Holy Spirit have been unleashed for the faculty. So we were somewhere between talking about people who are intransigent, you know, just will not budge and will not, frankly, fulfill their contracts and keep contradicting Scripture and our church body's teaching. But in between that intransigence and your question about percentages with the faculty, it does seem to me that we've got to provide the means for repentance there too. I don't for one second accept anybody in the classroom, or, I mean, if it were up to me, anybody in the classroom who is saying you shouldn't pray the Lord's Prayer because it's patriarchal. I don't think people should come into class or be allowed to come into class and advocate for the organization Black Lives Matter, which is Marxist, anti-family, violent, and so forth, and on and on. So I don't want the kids to be hurt. None of us do, or none of us should want that. And that means this woke business has to go. But at the same time, you just got to wonder, maybe we've just gone really too long with not doing what we were supposed to do, and we better educate the faculty in the way that, in a sense, they have the right to expect to be educated. So it's not just a matter of weeding out. It's a matter of overcoming and persuading with the gospel of Christ, too.
Someone is inevitably going to ask, because it sounds like this didn't happen overnight, Dr. Scholes, why the public disclosure about wokeness at CUW now?
Do you mean on art or in this whole conversation that's come up after that?
I mean your public disclosure now.
Right. Because it's intolerable. I'm a minister of the gospel. I've been trained for this sort of thing, and I just noticed that, you know, not only am I a called and ordained pastor and have had parish experience, so I know how important this stuff is firsthand, but I've been blessed with opportunities for an awful lot of extra formal education and an awful lot of experience working with world missionaries and teaching in doxology, which I just love, and going into some international venues to see what's going on. And I know that this wokeism, this cultural Marxism, is absolutely antithetical to Christ and to what he wants for us. It's absolutely opposed to God's will. And so I believe that I took a responsible path in making things as clear as I could in writing to members of the board, to our administration, offering to talk, and then this persists, and I just couldn't see being responsible and being a confessional Lutheran if I didn't bring up this harm. Also, if folks have read, or when they do read, Woke Dysphoria at Concordia, you'll see that a driving force for me is the growing disquiet, the restlessness in the souls of our students at Concordia. These students that I work with, they came to Concordia because they were told and had reason to believe it was the most confessional Concordia available. And they came to learn Christ and the Scriptures and our Lutheran confessions, and seemed almost week by week that they were getting more anxious and more outspoken and asking me what in the world they're supposed to do with some of this stuff popping up in the other classes. It was not diminishing. It was not being dealt with. It was being promoted by our administration and by the leadership from our Board of Regents. And enough is enough.
Back to the presidential search process. You were one of 11 finalists at one time for president of CUW. What did you make of the finalist list?
First, I'm going to say two things. I think I actually still am on the list, and that's because there is a bit of strife going on in, apparently, best I can tell from the outside, the Board of Regents is determined to run its own presidential search and list, but actually our church body produced a vetted list of 11 people, which I think is still the actual list, right? So I don't grant the board authority to be countermanding our church body that way. So I think that I still am on the list. The second thing I want to mention is understand that things may be changing, and I may have been naive about some things, but I entered that list because I was nominated by members of the church. So because a congregation or congregations and a faculty member or faculty members put my name forward, I've always felt that that means that you can't just push aside something that you would find a little difficult to do, but you have to respond to the church and see where the Lord leads that process. I belong in the classroom. I think that's really, I hope it's clear, abundantly clear to my students everywhere. I think you'll find it is. This is what I've been made for, you know, teaching and all this great stuff I get to do. At this point in doxology, I've actually been able to spend substantial time with about somewhere between a fifth and a quarter of all of our LCMS pastors talking about what I really want to, and that is our need to teach people how to suffer in Christ and in the Psalms of Lament and so forth as they're suffering and dying. So I had no aspirations for the presidential office. I don't know how I feel about things right now, just to be perfectly honest. You asked about the list. I didn't know a number of people on the list. I would say this, though. No matter who is doing or vetting it, we need especially capable pastor professors or a pastor professor with unique capabilities to be the next president at Concordia University, Wisconsin. It is not sufficient to find people who may have the right intentions but don't have the right academic credentials and experience. And it's not right to put forward people with substantial experience or even academic credentials who don't have a pastoral heart. The Concordias, on my understanding, Todd, and you know, you or anyone could upgrade me on this, but my understanding is from the get-go, we've envisioned pastors being in that role because all of the stuff written about it starts with spiritual. It starts with, you know, things being in accord with the Holy Spirit and the word that he has inspired. And that's the first thing. You can't have a president today who doesn't have a PhD or a couple doctorates, who's going to have any moral authority with the faculty. And I think, frankly, the people on the list, since you gave me half an opportunity that we should look at, we should consider it this way. Nobody who is not a pastor is going to be the kind of president I think, I'll speak for myself, that I think as a member of faculty there we urgently need. Nobody who's not a pastor is qualified for this position. And I think it should be a pastor with some parish experience to boot. I think the names to keep an eye on there are my colleagues in the theology department. So it's Drs. Germann and Lane and Moldenauer and Mummy. These guys are gifts from God to the university. They are pastors types. They've got academic credentials that most of us, you know, could only dream of attaining in our lives. They've got them already at midlife. And I would be honored. I think Concordia would be blessed with one of those four guys at the helm. But I think they are the four outstanding people on there for our present time of crisis and need, in which we need a pastoral heart that is not going to flinch from what has to be done to maintain or regain our fidelity to Christ and to our students, and somebody with the intellectual accomplishment and gravitas like those four guys have, we absolutely must have in that office. Thanks for asking. That may be a little bit more than you were asking for.
Well, and I understand your concern about the a pastoral leadership as well as an academic or university leadership. I respectfully disagree about that it must be a pastor, and my example is Dr. Russell Dawn, who was recently installed as president at Concordia University in Chicago, a layman, although a theologically educated layman, albeit, has done more to reform these kinds of problems at Concordia Chicago than the long string of ordained men who preceded him who largely either made it worse or did nothing about it. So I want to commend this layman, Dr. Dawn, in his leadership as president of Concordia University Chicago.
I agree with that. I agree with that point, Todd. I'm certainly thankful for his work and have been in my personal prayers, too. I would also say Dr. Bernard Bull at Nebraska is an absolute gem of a person. I had him as a colleague, or I was a colleague of his through a number of years. We actually worked together to introduce a curricular innovation in Mequon called the Great Texts Pathway. And I think the world of Bernard, too. But please remember that I think those are exceptional circumstances. At least I'd like to offer that. And I also was talking mostly to Concordia Mequon. Concordia Mequon is what it is. It is bigger. It's in the position it's in right now. And furthermore, I think I'd just like to emphasize again that though being a pastor doesn't mean you're the perfect university president, I did not say that. But even if you wanted to say that, I would not assert that at all. I said, you know, a person of pastoral experience and also exceptional academic qualifications. So that's what Concordia University Mequon needs. And I love and respect these guys at Chicago and certainly in Nebraska too. But I don't want to back off of that point. This is not something where you can plug in somebody who is more or less an administrator and may or may not have academic qualifications, who doesn't have sterling academic qualifications and pastoral experience. That I won't change.
Dr. Gregory Scholz is our guest. He was suspended on February 19th as a professor of philosophy from Concordia University, Wisconsin. We're discussing allegations of woke ideology there. When we come back, how does he respond to the concern of sour grapes?
Luther was right. Doctrine is life. Life before God, obviously, because we now have salvation and eternal life and justification and grace. But doctrine also teaches us a great deal about life now in this world.
Dr. Joel Bierman talking about his presentation at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference at Concordia University, Chicago.
How one sees the world all around has been called a worldview. Right doctrine leads us to a right way of seeing the world and our place in it, what we might call a Lutheran worldview. Learning how better to see all of God's world is something I believe that all of us can benefit from as we seek to follow in the train of Luther, who taught us that doctrine is life.
You can meet and hear Dr. Joel Bierman making the case for a Lutheran worldview Friday, June 24th and Saturday, June 25th at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. For more information, visit issuesetc.org.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Truth, freedom, and vocation are the pillars of a Concordia University Chicago education. Through them, we form our students for lives of influence and service for the common good. This is the education American society needs right now. I'm Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, and I invite you to visit us to discover what it means for truth, freedom, and vocation to become the pillars of your future. Learn more at cuchicago.edu.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
When Martin Luther preached the dedication for the Torgau Church, he asserted that nothing else happened in this house but that our dear Lord speak to us and we respond in prayer, thanksgiving, and praise.
Issues Etc. guest Dr. John Pless.
The same could be said of Concordia Theological Seminary. This is a place where our Lord speaks to us through His Word, and we respond in joyful and thankful confession. We therefore invite you to visit our campus, where the Word of Christ dwells among us richly.
Learn more about studying for the vocations of pastor or deaconess at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Forming servants in Jesus Christ to teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. ctsfw.edu or 1-800-481-2155. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Dr. Gregory Schultz is our guest. He was suspended on February 19th as a professor of philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin. We're discussing allegations of woke ideology at that university. As you mentioned before, Dr. Schultz, the CUW Board of Regents has voted in an attempt to take no action on that list of 11 initial candidates approved by the prior approval panel in hopes that that panel will expand its list to include some of the men that were originally nominated. Since you are one of the finalists, can you see where a third party might interpret your public concerns as sour grapes?
Yeah, thanks. So, as I've mentioned several times, I'm a Lutheran pastor, so I've got a thick skin. I can only tell you honestly what I honestly think, and then people can make of it what they want. It is several logical fallacies in there if a person is going to go all ad hominem and think that because I was on the presidential, was or am on the presidential vetted list, that I've got some concern about that. I seriously doubt that there's any possibility that I could be nominated for the role of president. Certainly, our Board of Regents doesn't even want to look at any of the pastors on faculty for it. They've made that very clear in a number of ways. However, you can think of me what you want, but you have to look at this theological issue. And the theological issue remains the wokeness being supported by the leadership on the Board of Regents and the administration at Concordia University, Wisconsin. I also am just going to say for the record that I was specifically asked not to take my name off of this shorter list of the 11 by the Concordia University system, folks. I say that my name is on there right now, not because I have any aspirations for that office of president. I think I said I don't, though I want to be honest enough to say I don't know what I think about some things at Concordia after recent happenings. But if the supervising Concordia University system people say, please leave your name on the list, even though the Board of Regents wants to cleanse the pastors, I will follow the Concordia University system. So I'm on that list. I don't necessarily want that office at all. I would like to be back in my classroom. If I haven't made that clear enough for some of your listeners, maybe they should talk with people who really know me before they make up their minds.
You had mentioned Dr. Angus Manoogian, and he has been quoted publicly expressing similar concerns, your department head. Why do you think other faithful Lutheran faculty members have not publicly come to your defense?
Well, let's try this. So I am certainly one of the older faculty members at Concordia University. So I'm a full professor, been around for quite a while. Not at Concordia, but in higher Lutheran education. I'm coming up on the 40th anniversary of my ministry, Lord willing, this summer. So if you could put yourself in the shoes of younger faculty members or junior faculty members at the university, and you saw what the administration just did to one of its senior faculty members, would you speak up? Now, again, I'm not going to talk down to my colleagues. I think those who have the moxie and realize the responsibility to speak up will speak up in their own due time and in their own way, I would assume. But this is what is meant by the chilling effect on academic freedom that Angus and I and others have been talking about in this business. So I'm not sure that you'd be able to find another university, certainly not another university in our circles, that has ever made the move of unilaterally suspending and threatening to terminate a professor, much less a senior professor, much less a senior professor who's also an ordained pastor, who's ever done that. So there's this chilling effect on the faculty. I do hope people will find their voice there fairly soon, because if I am finally terminated and there is no repentance or there's no repeal of that, then it's open season on any faculty member who even thinks about putting something in print disagreeing with, get this, the doctrinal position into which a Concordia is sliding, the anti-doctrinal position into which they're sliding. I also would think that, speaking candidly, for the sake of simply looking after their own integrity, my colleagues on faculty are going to need to do something to address the administration, aren't they? Otherwise, again, it's not going to be a very pleasant place to work for anybody with a conscience and anybody with a studied objection to the way the administration and the Board of Regents is choosing to steer the good ship Concordia.
Dr. Gregory Scholes is our guest. Allegations of woke ideology at a Lutheran university is our topic. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're connected to Issues, Etc. Folks, you have until midnight central tonight to take advantage of the $135 registration fee for the 2022 Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference. Attendance is limited to 500, and we already have more than 360 paid registrants. The premier conference for Christian laity is Friday, June 24th and Saturday, June 25th at Concordia University, Chicago. Register today at issuesetc.org. When we return, Dr. Scholes has stated, "I have done nothing wrong." We'll find out what he means by that. Have you ever wondered why our beloved hymns were written? What influenced the writers to craft these words that proclaim the gospel? Learn more about the words you love to sing in the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March, Eternal Anthems, The Story Behind Your Favorite Hymns. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Eternal Anthems, the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March, 1-800-325-3040.
Job saw the city as a wasteland, as if devoid of God, witnessing injustice to the poor by the corrupt, lawlessness of criminals, trafficking of children, blatant immorality, thinking God could not see wicked deeds done in the dark of night. Yet God never abandoned Job, nor his city, groaning for mercy. God is working through the living Redeemer, hands etched with salvation, pointing to the resurrection to come. Join us at lcms.org/citymission. to seek peace and shine the light in the city.
Our Christian faith is under constant attack, and we must be proactive in keeping our children in the church. At Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, we believe that an education rooted in God's Word is one that stands against the very gates of hell. Nothing in this world is more important. Offering a rigorous classical Lutheran education, we provide in-person and live online remote learning opportunities for preschool through grade 12. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
With Thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. The Southern Illinois District Advocates for Life invite you to join your brothers and sisters in Christ for a peaceful, life-affirming prayer vigil at the Planned Parenthood facility in Fairview Heights, Illinois, Saturday morning, March 26th. Pre-service music at 9:45, with the prayer vigil at 10 a.m. For more information, visit sidadvocatesforlife.com. That's sidadvocatesforlife.com.
Oh, Lord, open my lips.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about allegations of woke ideology at a Lutheran university with Dr. Gregory Schultz. He was suspended on February 19th as a professor of philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin. Dr. Schultz, I was fired by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod some 14 years ago. Now, I can assure you that in the weeks and months that followed, I broke the Fifth Commandment, failed to love my enemies, the Eighth Commandment, failing to explain everything in the kindness way, and a number of other commandments in the course of dealing with that. You have stated, quote, "I have done nothing wrong." What do you mean by that?
Oh, sure. So some people have been suggesting online and postings at the on the university's side that this whole business has something to do with Matthew 18, and have further suggested disingenuously that they're doing everything to keep this private, to follow Matthew 18. That is simply not an appropriate use of scripture. Incidentally, if it were a Matthew 18 situation, anybody who cares to can track the sequence of my open letters, endeavoring first of all to talk to the board, then gradually making things more evident to more people who could perhaps help persuade the board or the administration that this wasn't right, until finally I published that public essay, which was still a call for repentance, by the way. So the deal is this. This is a 1 Timothy chapter 5 matter. This is a matter in which, as the apostle says, if the elders transgress publicly, they should be publicly rebuked. I am somewhat dismayed, but not surprised, that various people involved in this process, which is not a process, I think, have felt that they can silence me or tell me I can't say anything or suggest to other people that they get to be silent about these pressing issues that they've instigated because of Matthew 18. That's an abuse of scripture. It's absolutely wrong. I will say this, along with you, Todd, and the rest of our fellow saints around the world, I'm always part of that Sunday liturgy too, sometimes leading it, often out in the pews, where I confess that I am by nature sinful and unclean, and then count on the forgiveness of God given through the called pastor, or sometimes as a called pastor, I convey that forgiveness from our Lord himself to his people and congregation. So I'm certainly a sinner, but if you understand me, that's irrelevant to this discussion. The question is, who is sinning? Is it the pastor and professor who offers to rebuke publicly the public sin of buying into this ungodly business of wokeism and foisting it on our children? Or is the sinning taking place with people who are trying to pretend this is a Matthew 18 calling for absolute secrecy kind of happening? And I say, again, if I can be shown from Scripture that I'm wrong, I'm certainly glad to alter that. But I don't see it. And I've had, I bet hundreds, if not thousands of brethren have looked at that article, have considered the situation, and nobody has shown me that I'm doing anything contrary to Scripture. I'd be glad to respond to that, of course, but I don't think I am. That's never been an issue. So Of course, I'm willing to accept biblical correction, but I am not a junior professor, and I am a pastor to boot, and I know a contradiction to Christ in the scriptures when I see one. Wokeism is such a contradiction. It is antithetical to everything that the Bible is about. And until people are going to address that, things are not going to be well. Consciences are going to be afflicted. Strife is going to happen. And I would notice, again, for the record, I am not the person who started this factionalizing and these dissensions. It's this introduction of the sort of thing that you can see flowering forth from a particular student union at my university. It is the sort of thing that's been advertised as desirable in the next president of Concordia University, Wisconsin, by the search committee and the executive committee of the Board of Regents. It's plain as day. Talk with the students. Ask them, the ground we've covered. Of course I'm a sinner. You could put it this way. Did Job have original sin? Yes, he did. Was Job a sinner who had committed sins in thought, word, and deed? Yes, that's true. Does it follow from that that Job suffered because of his original sin or his particular sins? No. Job is a man of integrity in the terms of the particular concrete situation God put him in. Job was suffering because God decided to make him suffer, not as an automatic outcome of his sins or sinfulness. Quite the contrary. And I would just say in a much lesser but a similar kind of way, I haven't done anything wrong. I've committed no sin. I've even gone out of my way to explain. Anybody who has ever read Luther's large catechism on the Eighth Commandment should know that opening couple of paragraphs, and I have quoted in reconciliation meetings, paragraph in which Luther said, well, look, with all of the other things that go on in the world, any preacher who's faithfully preaching Christ's gospel should expect to be called names, expect to be called a miscreant from the people of the world. So I certainly am a sinner, but that's irrelevant for this conversation.
We have about a minute here, Dr. Scholes. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has a process of reconciliation. Where does that process with respect to your case currently stand?
Yeah, see Joy's article again. I think, Todd, you probably knew this asking the question, but the folks should take a look at that. First of all, what is the process of reconciliation? It is not the sacrament of confession and absolution. I don't know why this should have important status at all. If we want to talk about serious things, if this is a serious situation, if people are seriously concerned with my actions in publicly rebuking what's going on at Concordia University, then the way to go is scripture and the confessions, the means of grace, confession and absolution. Joy Pullman didn't just suggest, she said that there is no process going on. So there is no process going on. There is no formal or informal process that's taking place right now. I have been willing to participate in a so-called reconciliation meeting because my district president asked me to, but there's no continuing thing out of that. He may or may not feel he can speak for himself. I can certainly speak for myself. I think the reconciliation process is always presupposing a situation in which two sides have both done something wrong. Some sort of compromise or come together has to come out of that, and that will quiet things down. Number one, this issue of wokeism at Concordia University, Wisconsin should not be quieted down until it is repented of and taken care of. Number two, it is totally disingenuous to think that the most important thing for the church is to keep things quiet. The church is the church militant. The church has responsibilities to be different from the world. We do not need another woke university. Even our pagan neighbors don't need another woke university. We need a Lutheran university for the sake of all peoples everywhere. where else are you going to get universal justification, which is being squelched by this world? Where else are you going to find the means of grace? Where else are you going to find Christ himself speaking to people in his very words? That's what's at issue. And I would just say, stop kidding around about protocols and whatever else you've got written down or not written down somewhere. Let's talk scripture and get this resolved in a godly, Christ-centered way by getting back to the means of grace and repudiating wokeism.
Dr. Gregory Scholes was suspended on February 19th as a professor of philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin. Dr. Scholes, thank you very much, and Godspeed.
Thank you, Todd. Continued blessings to you and your vital work at these times, too.
Wednesday on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Pastor John Koopman about the dangers of cynicism and its media coverage of religion with Terry Mattingly. Then on Thursday, we'll respond to your email and the Issues Etc. comment line. Talk back at issuesetc.org or 618-223-8382. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of his family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His ways.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper every service every Sunday, preaching Christ crucified and risen, our hope for years to come, there is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is, 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri. Find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
Issues Etc. surpassed more than 6.4 million downloads during 2021. You can help us reach more listeners this year. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Old theology, new technology. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
In the Confession of Lutheran Dogmatics on Holy Scripture, I seek to expound and defend the doctrine of Holy Scripture in three areas.
Dr. Jack Kilcrease, talking about his new book in the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, Holy Scripture.
One, the absolute truthfulness of Holy Scripture. Two, the Christ-centered nature of Holy Scripture. and three, to expound and defend the doctrine of Holy Scripture in a postmodern environment.
Learn more about Holy Scripture at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Unshaken from Psalm 16:8 is the theme for the 44th academic year at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and encouraging spiritual growth. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the support page. Or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.